For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. There's nothing sweeter than baking cookies during the holidays. With Prime, I get all my ingredients delivered right to my door, fast and free. No last-minute store trips needed. And of course, I blast my favorite holiday playlist on Amazon Music. It's the ultimate soundtrack for creating unforgettable memories. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Is that the belt? Did you hand out that Gronk belt to the winner?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
That's what these college kids love. So is Coach Belichick going to love all this gimmick stuff? Handing out belts, handing out a chain to a guy that gets an interception.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Actor Omar J. Dorsey. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you're just joining us, I got a load off my chest. Last segment of the last hour, where the bill being placed in front of the Ohio State Assembly saying that flag planting on a flagpole in the middle of Ohio Stadium at the Ohio State University on a game day at any point in time should be a felony.
That's wild.
A felony.
That's Richard the King petty level right there. We're putting that at the top.
It's not petty. It's just, it's insane. It's one of the stages of grief to losing at your, it's like, hey, listen, you lost. Michigan planted the flag. There was a big set to afterwards. It was ugly. And now everybody is saying just ban flag planting forever and make it a felony now?
Yeah, come on.
Well, at any rate. Bruce Feldman's going to join us to talk about the reason why Ohio State people should turn a page. They got a game. They're in it. They got a ticket to the tournament. Michigan doesn't.
Yeah.
They got a ticket. Well,
let's check the odds.
They got Tennessee, and then they beat Tennessee. They got Oregon.
Ohio State has the third best odds.
I'm sure they do.
Tied with Georgia.
They done what they were expected to do, which was beat Michigan, they'd have played Oregon. And let's just say they would have the same. Let's just throw out that they have the same result as Penn State. Then they'd be in the position of hosting SMU. Or they would have wound up maybe even being the 5, not 6. You know? And they would be in a position, maybe if they'd beaten Oregon, then they'd be the 1 seed, don't you think? Over Georgia.
Oh yeah.
But instead, they lost to a five loss Michigan team with a walk on quarterback and missing their 2 best players, one on offense, one on defense, and the one on defense, Will Johnson, just declared he's going to the draft, and he might be drafted higher than Mason Graham, who declared yesterday. After, for some reason, Ohio State kept running at him. Bruce Feldman will join us in the middle of this hour to talk also about the news out of North Carolina. Bill Belichick has an offer on the table from North Carolina.
Wow.
It appears.
That's crazy.
And he's considering it. Seriously considering it. So we'll talk to Bruce about all that. News out of the NFL. Tommy Cutlets is back, Chris. Is that right?
Yeah, Cutlets is back. Drew Locke's dealing with a quote-unquote heel injury. I think that heel injury is make sure we get the number one pick. And so we got Tommy Cutlets is back. Tommy DeVito's going to start this week.
Well, maybe it'll just surprise the team that they're facing. And, oh, wait a minute, it's the Ravens.
Off a bye.
Off a bye.
Yeah.
Good one. hey, man, you look at the Giants' remaining schedule, and Tommy Cutlets is going to play a role. You got the Ravens, Falcons, Colts, and Eagles. All four teams are either battling for a division or a playoff seeding or a spot. Playoff spot.
Yeah, like Indy.
And Atlanta. Atlanta's on the outside looking in. They're sniffing it right now after being up in division by multiple games and a two-game tiebreak already in their back pocket to the Bucs. They're now a game out.
Wow.
Because they lost four in a row. Yep. And
the Eagles trying to get home field.
If Tommy does not find last year's magic, and he certainly did not after the Giants cut Daniel Jones taking on Tampa to the point where, you know, he was too hurt to be on that beachfront property stage of Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. They didn't want to put Tommy Cutlets in front of 40 million eating Americans. Then they're in position for that first overall pick if he doesn't find the magic from last year. And the G-men would be in line for that first overall spot, and we'll see. It'll be Joe Shane making the decision. Is it Cam Ward or is it Shedeur Sanders? That's what it would be, right? Could you imagine they need a quarterback and they're like, oh, we'll take Mason Graham or Will Johnson, we'll go defender, or we'll take Travis Hunter?
I would be stunned. And then what, sign Sam Darnold in free agency?
I don't know. This will be part of the conversation.
You think the Vikings can let Sam leave right now?
Well, it's not let him leave. They got a kid that they could believe in.
Yeah, but coming off, I mean, look,
crazier things
have
happened,
but
sir.
Coming off of an ACL.
Crazier things have happened.
Oh, it's not an ACL. It's meniscus.
Meniscus. Meniscus, okay. Yeah.
Listen, crazier things have happened. Like, say, them moving up to go get J.J. McCarthy because a team that just signed a veteran to a four-year, $100 million-plus dollar deal goes ahead and drafts a rookie quarterback anyway in front of him. You know, that's crazy.
That was crazy.
Cam Ward will be in the city this weekend for them to go say hello.
Yeah.
He's at he's there at the Heisman Trust. So that's coming up later on this weekend. We'll talk about that with Bruce Feldman as well. It's a Wednesday, guys. You know what that means? It's time for me to tell you who's powerful and who is not, and I rank them.
Let me get the pen out.
That's another way of saying power rankings.
Hey, now.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
Not a single team in my power rankings has stayed put. I have moved them all around.
Really?
There is no changes.
Wow.
In my power rankings.
Whoa.
Just cuz. It's week 15, you know what I mean?
Week
14 going into week 15. And I got two new teams to start us off. Number 10, on the Rams. Whose house is it? The 10th ranked Los Angeles Rams house. I'm putting them there. I have put my finger on this chess piece saying they are going to win the division. And I'm going with the Rams. I'm going with Puka Nacua, who is off the charts, making himself the best receiver in the game right now, and he's got a quarterback who could sling it, and when they're not connecting, there's still a Super Bowl MVP in Cooper Kupp that's active, and Kyren Williams, and all they gotta do is just protect this guy, keep the pass rush going, so the back end of the defense isn't as exposed, and they can make some serious hay in the playoffs right now. With 4 weeks to go, I'm putting the Rams in my power rankings. And then number 9, you gave me grief for putting them in there a couple weeks ago, and they've won again, and they haven't lost. The Seattle Seahawks, I'm putting them there. They went into Arizona.
Well, I gave you grief because you took them out last week.
Well, Kenneth Walker's out, and they uncorked some Charbonnet and served it up, and Geno's slinging it, and defensively they're making some plays. Oh, that's why you gave me grief, right? I put them back. I reinstalled them at 9.
Okay.
They're 8-5.
Yeah. I know.
So they're back on the list. And those are my new teams to start us off. Down one spot, even though they're on a bye week. You think I should take them out? TJ, you think I should remove the Baltimore Ravens from my power rankings?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
You think I should still not have the Ravens in my power rankings, Chris?
The last time we saw them, they lost.
I know, but the time before that, they beat the Chargers, who you thought I should still have on my power rankings list. They're down one spot. I still love
them.
There
are 10 teams better than them.
And they're about to win a couple in a row, too, gents. I think the Ravens are going to take care of business against the Giants. Well, not two in a row. That game against Pittsburgh, you know, the week before Christmas, the Saturday before Christmas, that's going to be a tough one. At Houston, home for Cleveland, they should finish strong, I believe.
Okay.
And so I'm going to keep the Ravens on the list, just down one spot. And I'm downgrading the Packers one spot, too. And you'll understand why. I still believe in them. I still think that this is a team that can make the divisional round because they're going to go into potentially the NFC South winner or the NFC West leader and make things tough. I still believe in them, but I'm downgrading them one spot because I'm putting the Vikings above them.
Finally, some Vikings.
I know. I got it. What they just did to Atlanta, they took an opponent that was coming in wounded and is lesser than, and they destroyed him. They beat him up. They took that team and just spanked him.
Yeah, pulverized.
And Sam Darnold, for him to have Kirk Cousins in the house, you know, and we had Cam Hayward on yesterday. And he said that Mike Tomlin, in announcing the quarterback change from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson, essentially told the team, I make the decisions. It's up to you to make them look good. Well, they made the decision, or Kirk Cousins made the decision, and Sam Darnold made him look good. 5 touchdowns, career high. That's the stat line that he had, and that's the day that they had. On the day Kirk Cousins returned, it's as perfect as it can get for the Minnesota Vikings.
NFC Player of the Week.
So they start 5-0, then they lose 2 in a row, and then they win 6 in a row. So let's get to the top 5.
Top 5.
I know there's going to be some pushback on this, but I'm downgrading the Bills 2 spot. They're 5.
That's fair.
They're 5. And I think that's out of respect. The fact that I put the Rams on the list, too, is that I didn't drop them any further. And the fact that they've got the MVP, I think, certainly from the quarterback spot. We'll see what Saquon does against the Steelers. He can put himself back into this pole position. We'll see what the Lions do this week. It's a pretty big week for the MVP race.
There's some big games 15. This week.
But I'm concerned about the Bills' defense. And we'll see what they do against the Lions. They can shut me up. I'm putting the Steelers 4. I think the Steelers can win the Super Bowl the way they're playing, guys. I think they can.
Yeah.
The way that Russ is playing, not making the mistakes, slinging it around, giving him some chunk plays, and their main chunk receiver was out. And it took a while, but he found the end zone a couple times in the air, man. Running, playing defense, coaching, special teams. Steelers are top 4 in the league right now. And I'm putting the Chiefs at 3 above them. We will find out on Christmas Day whether I'm right or wrong. And the Chiefs are 3. You call them lucky all you want. They're situationally brilliant. And it isn't luck to win all these one-score games in a row, man. You just got to know how to finish up. You got to know how to avoid the mistakes. And sure, there's a little bit of luck involved in a couple of them. Now comes the decision. I popped the Eagles above the Lions last week, but based on what I saw last week, I'm downgrading the Eagles to 2, and I'm putting the Lions back at number 1. And that's what you do in power rankings. You kind of go from week to week. You kind of figure it out. Yep. Man, I just don't understand. You know, the passing game struggles against Carolina, and it's you've won 9 in a row. This is where, you know, winning should be the deodorant here, and instead you're still smelling a little bit of, you know, smoke from that place.
I don't know what's going on with them.
I love it, to be honest.
I'm sure you do as a Cowboy fan. Yeah. And
Burrow burning down.
I mean, they're still a Super Bowl caliber team.
For sure.
But when it comes to it, the Lions, what they did on Thursday night with the Packers in their house, and, you know, Dan Gamble as he's referred to. And the Lions just getting it done. And I can't wait to see him against the Bills this week. As a matter of fact, this week on my power rankings, it's 1 versus 5. It's 2 versus 4. Let's go. Let's go. And then you've got the Rams taking on the 49ers. You've got the Seahawks taking on, you got 9 versus 7. How about that? Fun week 15 on my power rankings. 1 versus 5, 3 versus 4, 7 versus 9. Okay.
I think I would have left the Commanders at 10.
I don't know. I like what the Rams did, buddy.
You can still like them, but like college football playoff, you know, they're the first team out, and you can't penalize a team that didn't play.
Okay. I see what you said.
Yeah.
The Rams beating the Bills and doing what they did on offense shows you that they're a dangerous team.
Chargers also could have won, but yeah, I see taking them out. I would have just left Washington.
TJ?
Look, it would be really nitpicking.
No, but that's what this is about.
I like moving the Vikings up.
I'm not here to pick nits, so I'll just say, yeah, I'm with your list. I mean, I would have liked to have seen Dallas in there, but oh yeah, they stink, so they can't be.
This is where
shuffling the top five is good, though. You had them right.
TJ, thank you, TJ. This is where it would work to say, in terms of the power rankings, where Mishpucha.
We're on the same page.
No, we're part of the same family.
Yeah, we're mishpooking in.
No, it's not. It's not a verb.
Make it a verb.
It's not a verb.
No. Just mishpooka.
No, it's okay. Just keep working through it.
Hey, I'm here to learn, baby. I'm here to learn.
Oh, you told me it wasn't. Told me Debo didn't tweet out B. Francium.
Yeah, I taught you about for real. You teach me about mishpooka.
FR is not Beryllium on the periodic look, table.
We're doing the Lord's work, Rich. We're bringing people and cultures together here on the Rich Eisen Show throughout the world. Man, welcome.
Inside Carolina is saying it's done with Bill.
Let's get to Bruce Feldman.
This is nuts.
Let's go. LFG, as they would say back in his,
wow,
Bill's old stomping grounds. LFG to UNC, is that coming? Oh, my word.
Crazy.
Daytime Tickets, by the way, is ready for you to start buying tickets to anything in your area, or in the case of what Sue's just did, north of the border. She just took Zan to the
How was that?
Third to the last Eras Tour. Oh, it was great. It was great. They went to Swift Coover. As it was renamed for the weekend.
Come on.
Swift Cooper. Yeah. Come
on. Telling you, I love the all-in pricing when it comes to it. The all-in pricing is great because when you are checking it out on the Game Time site, you see the price for the ticket that you want thanks to the Game Time Picks curation feature. And then when you check out, it's the price that you saw. It is amazing. So take the guesswork completely out of buying tickets when you use Game Time. It's great. You're going to love it. And I love it, too. So make sure that you go right now to GameTime.co because there are some restrictions for you to check out. So just download the app. Make sure you get it on your phone. And then once you download the app, use my promo code of Rich. You get $20 off your first purchase. R-I-C-H, $20 off your first purchase. So download Game Time today. Make sure that you check it out on Game Time. What time is it? Game Time.
Boom!
All right, Bruce Feldman's going to join us next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So much to talk about with him. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. So, you know, I always get these updates from the NFL Network news desk. And I'm reading the press conference. Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach of the New York Jets, saying Breece Hall is quote-unquote struggling a bit. His status for this week's game for the Jets is unclear. The Jets are in Jacksonville, and Sauce Gardner's going. But Ulbrich says they're not at the point of shutting Breece Hall down as of now. Can I just say this? I don't even know what his MRI looks like. Just shut him down. Could you imagine this team is 3-10, potentially loses to Jacksonville to go 3-11? And even if they win to go 4-10, could you imagine this guy hurts himself significantly to the point where it affects his offseason?
That would be bad.
Like, that's how you take the season that is unfolded and double and triple down on it. What's the point? And I understand when I say stuff like that, or anybody in my position says stuff like that. These are some real grown-ass men who really want to win games, and it means so much to them. It really does. And I try to keep this in mind when I talk about anything like this from this position. But sometimes you just got to take the car keys away. That's all. That's it. And I'm sure Breece Hall wants to be out there with his mates, and he also might have an idea in his head about going into the season what his personal goals were, and he doesn't want to not reach those either.
Right.
But come on now. Come on now. Certainly sit him against Jacksonville. And then after that, come on. What, are you going to go throw him out there against Buffalo? Is that what you're going to do? The Rams? Really? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, and his usual Wednesday spot is my friend from Fox Sports, our friend from The Athletic, Bruce Feldman. Good to see you, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be on with you, Rich.
Yeah, last week, you know, when we were talking about the possibility of Bill Belichick taking a job in North Carolina, I had my tongue firmly planted in cheek saying, what, is he going to get ready for Wake Forest next year? At this point in time, this sounds serious. Like, is this going to happen, do you think, Bruce?
There's a very good chance it is, Rich. Our reporting at The Athletic yesterday was that he has been offered the job. The sides were not close on their terms. You know, we've heard that it seems like they've gotten closer to making this happen. A couple things to keep in mind. So this has been a very unwieldy search by all our reporting. You know, The Athletic has done a lot of digging into this, especially our Brendan Marks, who covers North Carolina for us. And so what you have is normally the AD would be leading this and driving things in this direction. From what we gather, it seems like there's been one regent who has been driving it, and connected to the Belichick side of this thing. And, you know, there's different people who want different things. And this is not a place that has great resources in terms of financially right now on the NIL front towards revenue share. I mean, Mack Brown was making $5 million, which is a lot, but not a lot by big time college football coach standards. I mean, that's less than half of what Dabo Sweeney's getting. Mario Cristobal in the same conference makes a lot more. Most of the SEC makes a lot more. From our reporting, the offer initially to Belichick was in that ballpark. You know, it's like, so he's half the coach of Dabo Sweeney. It just didn't, I think a lot of that was going to be tough for Bill Belichick to probably swallow, but it's also going to be tough to say, hey, am I going to be able to compete for talent when all this is everybody's basically a free agent in college football. And so he can go, you know, he talked on Pat McAfee a lot on Monday about just selling an NFL model. And some of the stuff he said, I think, really echoes the same kind of pitch Jed Fish had both at Arizona and Washington. Some of the same stuff that Kirby Smart and Bill Belichick have definitely emphasized and done well with. But if you don't have the financial backing when somebody goes, yeah, that's great, but how much can you pay me? I think that's the part where there's a disconnect.
Well, and then that's the disconnect I think a lot of fans and certainly NFL observers have about Belichick saying yes to something like this is the fact that there's the NIL aspect of it. And sure, you know, we understand what the way of the world is, the NIL, and you could professionalize it and it's going to be like the NFL and things of that nature, except for the fact that there's a new league year, there's a new league year in the NFL, and there's a period by which you can't talk to anybody, and then you can, and then now it's a free-for-all, as opposed to the transfer portal happening when a player decides it's happening, you know? And that's the way of the world that a lot of people think that Belichick wouldn't be a fit for. Any reporting on this side of it from the North Carolina reporter that you're referring to, or anybody from your sources about how the fit works here, Bruce?
I think it's all TBD, you know, and we've done a lot of reporting on this part. Like, Bill Belichick is not cold to college football in terms of his son Steve is the defensive coordinator at Washington. I know from being up there this year, Bill Belichick has been very involved in there. He's been in meetings. He's been around the team in team meetings. He's certainly been involved with the staff quite a bit, especially in spring football, in training camp as well. Now, I don't know if he's been there since they played. I heard he was there when they played Michigan. That was a month plus ago. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that my understanding is he's not been around when it comes to any of the recruiting side of it. That's a different animal. The other thing is, you know, you can talk about, and Belichick has talked about this some, certainly on McAfee, about understanding an NFL model and how it relates to now. This is closer to what college is. That, while there's some truth to that, you know, you're not necessarily negotiating a lot with Drew Rosenhaus here and NFL credited agents. Most of the people who are involved in this now in terms of like the portal and who wants what, I mean, it doesn't, all you have is all you need basically is a cell phone and an internet connection to be an agent on the NFL, on the NIL side of things. And those are the people who are really kind of driving a lot of stuff there. And so it's very unwieldy once he were to get into it, if it in fact does happen, of how this would play out in terms of like managing that. The calendar is way different for college coaches than it is in the NFL. I mean, the NFL, it's obviously a longer regular season and it's more intensive. It's not like there's a 20-hour rule with your players. But when it gets to the off season, it's way different. And it's way longer. And I know a lot of coaches who used to coach in college who are in the NFL who are like have a much better quality of life because they have an off season. You really don't have that if you're a college football coach. Now people can say, yeah, well, you're making $5-10 million. And that's true, but it's just a different reality. And so, you know, we'll see how he would actually take to it once he's doing it.
So if he's doing it. Not to put any words in your mouth, but I'm just trying to hear what you're saying. So you're saying this is a search or a negotiation that's occurring without the athletic director's, I guess, not involvement, but usually the leader leading the search, right, or the negotiation, and that at this point in time, there's mutual interest, but the holdup might be money for the coach and also proof to the coach that there's enough money to compete on the front of name, image, and likeness to keep kids from hopping in the portal. Like, is they're on a search for donor cash pretty much right now to make this happen, Bruce? Is that it?
I think there's a lot of other things they've had to kind of marshal together in the last 36 hours. From my understanding, this started to trend in the direction towards Bill Belichick and got momentum on Sunday and has picked up speed. But again, they were pretty far off of the things he felt like he needed to take this job. And so, there's a lot, it's just more complicated. Like when Jim Harbaugh came back from the NFL, when he left the 49ers, now, again, he had been a college coach. He was really successful at San Diego and then certainly at Stanford. This is just a different time in terms of like how you got revenue sharing coming up this summer. You have certainly NIL on the portal and how it's managed, but it's all the things that kind of come with that. And I think those are different parts of it. I mean, if you have people who are trying to approach it strictly from the NFL model, it's got to be some version of a modified thing. The other thing I would also, I thought about a bunch is about a year ago at this time, when Nick Saban, who's obviously, Belichick knows incredibly well, when he was making his decision to step down, I know one of the things that he told people close to him that he struggled with was the day before he made that announcement, he did all his exit interviews with his players, and we're talking about dozens of them. And the reaction and the kind of dialogue that he was getting from the players in terms of like their expectations, in terms of NIL and those things, and kind of how they were, I don't know if I would say how they were wired, but what was on their mind, was tough for him. It did not sit well with him. This is Nick Saban, who had a team that was probably as wired in for that and to be competitive as you're probably going to get in college football. And even that group, the answers he struggled with. So, is Bill Belichick ready for what he's going to get dealing with 17, 18, 19-year-olds in this day and age? And again, he's 72. Obviously he's the greatest football coach in the history of the NFL, but he is in his 70s. I mean, there was an interesting parallel to this. Bill Walsh, who had won 3 Super Bowls with the 49ers, came back to Stanford, 30 years ago. He had a really good first year, but he finished in 3 years. He went 17-17 and like 2 or whatever, how many ties they had. And he was in his early 60s, not in his early 70s. And so this would be an interesting experiment if North Carolina ends up in this situation.
And then last one for you on this, is there any truth that he would, if he does it, he would line up his son to be his successor?
That I've heard is not accurate.
Okay.
It wouldn't shock me if Steve Belichick ended up going with him,
sure.
But to be the head coach and waiting down the road. That we've heard is inaccurate in our reporting.
Okay. Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. And before we get to the bracket, I mean, we just spoke at length about the world of college football and how how it's caused a lot of coaches to say, screw it, I'm going to the NFL where there's actual rules about free agents, there's actual rules on paying people and things of that nature. In that respect, it's not lost on me. We spoke to Josh Heupel last week, Bruce, and he was talking about how they were dealing with the signing period right before conference championship weekend. He wasn't part of it, but he's dealing with the signing period. And then we just got off the phone, off the Zoom with Coach Lashley of SMU, and he had yet to look meaningfully at any Penn State film because he was dealing with portal stuff. And it's just, what sport is set up this way? It's insane, Bruce. And the question is when are, you know, there's enough smart people to figure this thing out to not have these massively important periods occur around some of the most important games for these coaches and institutions that are already under significant pressure. Who the hell's in charge, and when are they going to actually address this thing, Bruce? What the hell?
First of all, nobody's in charge, and I don't know if there's enough smart people to figure it out, because they know a lot of these factors and they still walk face first into it. So don't overestimate the intelligence of the people who are quote unquote running the sport. I mean, it's been a big money grab for a long time, and I feel like they're often at odds with maybe their own self, you know, their own self-preservation. And that's just the reality of it. I mean, everybody saw this coming down the pipe, and they still, you know, are face first into it. So you have players who are, you know, starting quarterbacks. The starting quarterback at Duke led them to a 9-3 season. You know, he's not finishing the season. He's in the portal. Now you have other, like Ohio State and SMU both have backup quarterbacks who are going in the portal, but they have said they're going to finish the season. But you also have coaches, you know, who up and move before the year is over. And you remember, these are the same people who will always, like, they'll put up, you know, mantras all over their locker room and all over their facility, finish, 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 and everything about that, and accountability. You know, it's just, it's sometimes and often it's at odds with what their own messaging is.
It's just crazy. There's no other sport where free agency takes place during the playoffs or just on the verge of the playoffs. It makes no sense. It's absurd. And it just adds pressures to a situation that doesn't require it. It's nuts. Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your opinion of the bracket is what? What's your opinion of it?
I don't think Oregon got the best draw for being the only undefeated team. You know, if you look at their half of it, you know, as it is there, you know, you got Tennessee. Tennessee's really talented. Ohio State is loaded. Clemson, Dabo's won two national, and then Texas is, you know, came within a, you know, basically playing for the national title last year. Whereas on the other side, it's Georgia. And then the only other team I think has similar level of athletes, maybe not as much, is Penn State. Notre Dame's a good team, but just in terms of that, it feels like there's more of the powerhouse side on the Oregon piece of it. Now, I still think Oregon, they would be my pick to win it all. That's why I picked when I saw the bracket. They have the quarterback I would trust the most in a big game, and that's Dylan Gabriel. They have a lot of the same caliber elite big people that Georgia has, maybe not quite as many of them, but they have a really good scheme and they're extremely well coached. I think Dan Lanning has just a really, really good feel for his players. And they never look tight, which is they look like they're always ready to play, which I wouldn't say the same for a lot of these other teams.
Well, I mean, we had Ward Manuel on Monday, the CFP selection committee chair and the AD at Michigan. He came on and he said, and you probably know this already, but I'll just say it just to set up the rest of our conversation here, is that they just ranked them and then they popped them in order in the bracket. And the ranking came up the way it did based on factors that they all voted on without knowing where they would land. And then, you know, so be it that it's a tougher path for Oregon than it happened for Georgia because, you know, Ohio State lost a non-conference game. Didn't lose a non-conference game. They lost a game to an unranked opponent. They put them there, and so it was them in Tennessee. And then Texas fell with Clemson as well, right there on that side of the bracket for Oregon. And, you know, Ohio State fans are pissed because it seems like Penn State is an easier path than Ohio State, and Penn State lost to Ohio State. That's just basically the way it is because they're mandated to put – teams in the buys were based on the fact that they won conference championships, so on and so forth. That's what he said. So
yeah, and I think that's the part that may get undone on the next contract is the shoehorning teams from perceived lesser conferences that are getting shoehorned up into slots where they're not in the rankings. In this case, it was certainly Boise State. And when you had that with Arizona State as well, I mean, Arizona State, both teams are great stories, especially Arizona State. They were preseason picked to finish last in the Big 12, and now they're getting a first-round bye in the playoff. And they're a hot team, you know, like the way they play down the stretch. But I think that piece of it has I wouldn't expect to see this again, because it definitely muddied up how the bracket unfolded in terms of that. Now, look, it may work in the best interest of the SEC and Georgia. You know, we'll see. You know, Carson Beck's questionable, you know, because of his elbow injury. We'll see if he's actually going to be able to play. I can't wait to see how this tournament plays out. You know, I think it's hard to look and go, okay, would Indiana be the upset pick I would pick to knock off Notre Dame in the first round? I mean, I would hope to see that there'll be some kind of upset, you know, in this bracket, or a big upset. I don't know that we're going to see it, just because college football is way different from college basketball, where you get like somebody gets cold, somebody gets hot, and that changes it. But, you know, we're in the infancy stages of a 12-team playoff. And because of that, you're getting this, you know, you can't please everybody. I get it. They wanted to have these first round buys for conference champs, and it's, you know, they're going to learn from it, I think, and they're going to probably reevaluate it as soon as they can.
Well, I mean, just to finish it up, I think the biggest upset would be any of the teams that don't get a bye winning at all. That would be the upset, because just again, for Ohio State or Tennessee, just using that as an example right there, for them to beat the other and then have to go beat Oregon and then go beat whoever comes out of the other part of the bracket, and then arguably Georgia. Name me any team in college football that would have a four-game stretch during their regular season of scheduling to have that tough a stretch. Like, they're just, it doesn't exist because of the lesser opponents they face within their conference or the non-conference people they purposefully set up to prop up their record. Like,
don't lose two games in your and come out without winning your conference title. I mean, they could blame that. I mean, don't lose to Michigan if you're don't lose to a basically a 500 team at, you know, at home. I mean, that's that. I mean, if you're like Lane Kiffin did a lot of complaining about, but they lost at home to Kentucky. Kentucky didn't beat any other team in the SEC. You know, it's one thing to have one of those. If you have that couple with other losses, you know, it's hard to feel too bad about Alabama. They got blown out on the road by 3 touchdowns against a really mediocre Oklahoma team, on top of losing to Vanderbilt and on top of another loss. So, you know, again, I think it's harder to feel too bad for the teams that, you know, have multiple losses and didn't even, you know, make it to their conference championship game.
Before I let you go, your best guess on when we'll find out yay or nay on Belichick is when? What do you think?
Hopefully within the next 24 hours.
Really?
I
mean, so it won't even make it, this won't be in doubt Heisman Trophy weekend. You think it'll be done?
I would imagine if they're still kind of noodling around on the contract numbers by that long down the stretch, I would think that's a really bad sign. I would think it would have to be within the next 24 hours. I mean, like, you know, for us to report yesterday at The Athletic that it was already been offered and they're still talking about it, usually those things don't take like a month to get sorted out.
Bruce, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Be well. We'll chat with you.
Thanks. Sounds again. Good. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. Everybody check out Bruce Feldman on The Athletic and Fox Sports right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Bruce.
Whew. Don't lose at home.
Don't lose at home.
Yeah.
To, a, like you said, 500 team.
Well, and he pointed out what Ole Miss, too. And
yep.
Yeah, I think what we should do is endeavor this. Just take some time. Maybe while we're just sitting at home tonight, not responding to everyone else's text. <for some.
laughs> By the way.
Just take a look at anybody's toughest four-game stretch that's in the of the 8 teams that didn't get a bye
in a row, 4 games in a row,
four games in a row. And how it wouldn't come anywhere near the 4-game stretch that they're going to have to endeavor to win it all, right?
I think that's
so we'll take the time. It'll take some time, but let's do that maybe for the next 2 days. Right, we have next week too. I mean, the first game is
We got next all of next week.
Friday.
Yeah, we got all of next week.
844-204 Rich number to dial. We'll take some phone calls. Hour number 3 coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show with Omar Dorsey of Bookie in studio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood One.
This episode is brought to you by AWS. Amazon Q Business is the new generative AI assistant from AWS. Many tasks can make business slow, like wading through mud.
Help!
Luckily, there's a faster, easier, less messy choice. Amazon Q can securely understand your business data to help you streamline tasks, like summarizing quarterly results or doing complex analyses in no time. Q got this. Learn what Amazon Q Business can do for you at aws.com/learnmore.
What is going on with you, Jim Brockmeyer and Brett Musburger?
This is my Musburger face. No, you can't put that to bed, Rich Eisen. You know why you can't put it to bed?
Okay.
Because he's a punk. That's why. Brett Musburger is a P-U-N-K punk. The man is a thief. Okay? Brett Musburger is a thief.
How so?
Stole my line.
What line was that?
This is for all the Tostitos. Remember that? This is for all the Tostitos. Remember when he said that? Everybody in the business, no, it's not funny. Everybody in the business knows that was my line, but he went ahead and used, that's what I always yell when I climax inside of a woman. or when I'm just, when I climax all by myself. And ever since then, now I have to yell out, ruffles have ridges, and it's not the same thing.
Here is Brent Musburger. How are you, Brent?
Hey, Rich, I'm great. Listen, I'm so proud of you guys for trying to help resurrect little Jimmy Brickmeyer's career. We all know the problems. We all know the problems that he had in the past.
He says that you stole all the Tostitos from him, Brent, from back
no,
in the day.
I got paid. I got paid by a company to drop the name. I got free Tostitos for a week. What are you talking about?
Okay.
You know, Rich, it's really interesting because as we started VSiN here in Las Vegas, and Brickmeyer was having trouble getting a job, so he called our executives and our general manager. He interviewed Brickmeyer and asked him about a three-team parlay. And our boy Jimmy, he thought that was two hookers with him in a Morristown hotel room. You know, Jesus, we would have loved to help him out, but I wish him the best. He's so delusional, and listen, let him go at it. Okay. For all the Tostitos, baby.
Oh, my God, that might be one of our greatest achievements. Fantastic.
For all the Tostitos, baby.
You are your family's biggest supporter, so make sure they're protected today with affordable online life insurance through Ethos. Up to $2 million of same-day term life insurance in as little as 10 minutes for as little as $2 a day. It's 100% online, and there's no med exams, only a few online health questions. The mortgage, kids' education, and other costs could all be covered through Ethos. Straightforward protection for the people who matter most. Get a free quote now at tryethos.com. That's T-R-Y. ETHOS.com. Shane in Boulder, Colorado. Let's take his phone call again. How have you been, Shane?
Hi, I've been good. How's it going, Rich?
What's on your mind, sir?
I'm just so shocked by the disrespect by the committee on Notre Dame. I'm shocked.
What is that?
They should definitely be ranked above Penn State. They only have one loss. And also, they played one of the hardest teams to begin the season in their house, Texas A&M. And they beat them. And they have a good schedule. They beat Army. I don't think anyone expected them to beat Army in the way they did, by like 40 points almost.
Well, here's the thing, like, Shane, here's a deal with Notre Dame. You have separated yourself. And we had Marcus Freeman on the program, and he says he uses this to his advantage in his mind for recruiting, is that they play, they're not part of a conference. and that, that they play, you know, hey, you come to us and your child will play all over. He'll see the world. He'll see the football world, you know, literally will go overseas.
I love that they're an independent college. I don't want them to ever be in a conference.
But Shane, in this setup, that's how you're going to wind up feeling that you're going to get overlooked. Is that you don't have
you're not in a conference championship.
I'm sorry.
They didn't win a conference championship.
But they're not playing a team like Oregon, like Penn State did, or Ohio State, unless you schedule them like you did a couple of years ago. You're not playing a team like Oregon, like Penn State did for a conference championship when that's clearly what the College Football Playoff Committee is going to covet. And in the business world too, Shane, it's going to be like, oh, so you get all that television money to yourself. You're not going to come join a conference like the rest of us, and we've got to all play by those rules. You play by your own rules. Well, guess what? The own rules are you get one loss, and that one loss is to Northern Illinois, and that's going to count against you when it comes to Texas and Penn State taking on Georgia and Oregon, your current second and one seeds.
Texas, but we should definitely be above Penn State, 100%. 100%.
All right, Shane, I appreciate
the 100%.
I appreciate the call. I'm sorry that you feel that way, and call back, and Rudy was offsides. Is he gone?
Yeah, seems like that.
Shane was with it, man.
Unnecessary cheap shot.
Was it a cheap shot?
I also kind of agree with them. I thought Notre Dame should have been five.
In the politics of the world, you're just not going to be. Sorry. Texas loses to Georgia in overtime, and Penn State comes within one touchdown of winning the Big Ten championship, and you're going to take a team that says we're not playing you your conference game. Check us out on the NBC. Like that's going to count against you in this world where the College Football Playoff Committee does what it's doing. And they're basically like, choose a side, pick a conference.
Oh, I get that part. I'm just saying in terms of this year, this bracket, I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame made the final.
The highest seed they'll ever be is five. And then go prove it in the tournament. Then go prove it in the tournament.
I think they might.
That'll be fun. Listen, I'm still bitter over losing Juan Soto, clearly, right? but I said that my opinion would be tempered based on what the Yankees do with the money that Soto said no to.
Because you didn't want him anyway.
Well, obviously I wanted him, but you know what I'm saying. That my opinion of well, what happens next will temper my opinion of what just happened.
Word.
And taking a little bit less than a third of the money and giving it to Max Fried, I dig it. I like it. I think it's going to be fun to watch Cole and then Fried. And then I guess we got a bevy of lefties. You got Nestor still around. And obviously you've got, you got the New York Yankees throwing one lefty after another out there. So, kind of dig it. And then, I hear Kyle Tucker's in the offing, that the Astros are throwing him out there for trade.
Well, you guys are making offers. It seems like...
Well, the Cubs are interested in him, too, and the Astros are listening. And according to Joel Sherman of the Post, they're interested in Luis Gil, the rookie of the year pitcher that they threw out there.
Yeah, he's kind of the big ask from New York in any potential deal.
What do you think?
I mean, he's a great player. You know, he was injured this past year, played about half the games. But the previous 2 years, he's a guy that can steal 30 bases. He can get you 40 home runs. I'm kind of shocked that Houston's willing to part with this guy.
And then you hear Christian Walker might be on the Yankees' wish list to hand a left-handed bat to him in Yankee Stadium and say, play first base.
I really like that dude. He had a great year last year.
So it's Gerrit Cole and then Max Fried and then Carlos Rodon, Cortez, maybe Clark Schmidt is the righty because Heel's gone because that's Tucker. And then Walker. And you extend the lineup with some serious hitters and some better pitching. That's how I'm sitting there going, all right, that's the way you slice up the $700 million you're not giving to one guy to try and run it back. kind of dig it. Feeling good about it. Hour three coming up.
I'm feeling good right now.
Why are you feeling good?
Hit it, Jay. Breaking news. Hit it.
You don't want to save it for the top of the next hour?
No, I mean, we can hit it then, too.
Okay, what do you got?
Roku only.
Here it comes. Oh, and Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
Red Sox are sort of a serious organization, finalizing a trade, according to Jeff Passan, for Garrett Crochet of the White Sox.
Okay, so now you're using the capital that you didn't spend on Soto to bring in somebody that you could keep for a long time.
Yeah, so it's going to be a trade. So obviously, I'm curious to see what goes back to
what do you
Chicago.
Care? There'll be a bunch of Paw Sox you really haven't heard of. Or those are the ones that you have heard of and you thought that would lure Soto to come,
right,
and it didn't work.
That is what I was thinking. But we've had good success trading with the White Sox for a lefty. So right. I'm kind of down with this.
Did Crochet ever cut up his uniform?
Great question. Okay. I'll look into it.
Okay.
The deal with Tucker, Rich, too, is he's entering the final year of his deal. So
yeah, no,
you'd kind of have to sign an extension. You don't want a one-year rental, obviously.
Let's go. Trade for him. Sign him. Trade for him.
Extend him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go. Enjoy Soto, buddy. Enjoy him. He's just one guy.
Yeah, that's true. He's only one.
Making more money than the guy who plays, who hits and pitches.
That happens in life sometimes.
Mm. All right. So the apple will come up and down out of the hat. And the only question is what happens next? Hour three coming up.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.